This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. It is Friday, March 7th, daylight saving time this weekend. We spring forward on Sunday. Currently in Wichita, mostly clear, 49 degrees as the sunrise is underway. And we'll have our full weather forecast coming your way shortly here on this Friday morning. The results of the Wichita Public School District bond vote are going to be finalized this afternoon. Sedgwick County Board of Canvassers met yesterday morning reviewing the election results, and they did approve adding another 535 ballots to the count, voting at the wrong location, basically the main reason for the number of provisional ballots. And maybe due to the number of temporary voting locations that were needed for the special election. Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater says she's pleased with how the election went.
This was a great election. It really went smoothly. We had our results up by 8 o'clock or just shortly thereafter. It was a great election. No issues, no hiccups.
And the final results, like we said, of the bond issue, should know them by this afternoon. Fresh commitments from Europe in support of Ukraine after leaders held crisis talks.
The warm welcome Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky received in Brussels was worlds apart from last week's testy exchange in the White House. The European Union's promised fighter jets, increased defense spending, and theoretical peacekeeping troops. Around 20 countries are reportedly promising some form of assistance. Still, it's going to be hard for Europe to fill the military and diplomatic hole left by the Trump administration's hard line. Attention turns to US-Ukrainian talks taking place next week. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A house fire in North Wichita damaged two homes. That happened about 9:30 yesterday morning in the 2000 block of Park Place near 21st North and Broadway. Fire crews got there and found the fire between two homes. A home on the south got lesser damage. A home on the north got more. The blaze was quickly extinguished. Fire officials say a heat lamp was responsible for a fire that destroyed a chicken coop in Reno County and also damaged a home. That was at about 8 o'clock yesterday morning in Sylvia, southwest of Hutchinson. City workers and a Black Hills maintenance worker helped get a couple of people and a child safely out of the home before the fire crews got there. The Kansas House of Representatives has created the Select Committee on Government Oversight. And that's made up of representatives appointed by the House Speaker. And they will monitor government agencies and programs to identify potential misconduct and inefficiencies. Warm weather coming up next week, but not for everyone. Let's get a look at the weather.
Strong winds will start to diminish across the Northeast today, and a warm-up is on the way as we head into next week for much of the country. We do still have some winter hanging on from the Four Corners into the Rockies and across the Plain States and Great Lakes today. High winds and dry conditions has elevated the fire danger to critical over parts of the Southern High Plains. For all your latest forecast details, be sure to check out foxweather.com. I'm Janice Dean, Fox News.
A tragic death in the Northwest and a very unusual, heavy, and expensive item being stolen in cemeteries in Philadelphia. So we'll tell you about that. And, of course, our live KSN Storm Track 3 forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams is on the way as well. We've got good stuff coming up. KNSS News Time, 7:04. With Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A 12-year-old girl killed by a car that rolled down a hill outside her school.
Seattle police say the 12-year-old girl did not survive, dying next to Washington Middle School. At the time she was struck, there was no one at the wheel. Police believe the car was not placed in park properly. The driver was eventually found, and police say they're being evaluated by drug recognition experts, though it's unclear if they'll face charges. Gary Paulus lives across from the campus and says the sound of sirens called him out to a sight of sorrow.
And all these kids are walking by, and they're really sad. They have really sad looks on their faces, you know.
Students and staff temporarily sheltered in place until school was eventually dismissed early.
And that's Nia Wong with that report from KCPQ, Fox 13, Seattle. They're being stolen from multiple cemeteries across the Philadelphia area. Mausoleum doors.
They rest in peace until thieves come for the doors. Across Bucks, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties, a crew of criminals is ripping heavy bronze mausoleum doors from their hinges, turning sacred spaces into crime scenes. The doors, some worth up to $15,000, are sold to scrapyards for quick cash. Marple Township Police Chief Brandon Greff.
It's whoever does it and whoever's involved with it is a lowlife.
Police say it's the same group striking cemetery after cemetery under the cover of darkness.
If it's the same people involved, combine them all, you're looking at some time.
Police are asking the public for help, saying if you see something, say something before another resting place is robbed. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Russia has bombarded Ukraine, targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. It's a large-scale missile and drone bombardment that occurred during the night. This, of course, coming just hours after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that talks with the United States are going to be happening next week on ending the three-year war. Ukraine came under a massive missile and drone attack, according to the energy minister. At least 10 people, including a child, were wounded, according to authorities. And Russia has repeatedly targeted Ukraine's power grid during the war. The attacks depleting electricity generation capacity, disrupting critical heating and water supplies as well. It's 7:10 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
We've got a traffic accident on Kellogg now, eastbound Kellogg, and this is right around Meridian, which is just west of Meridian, eastbound on Kellogg, and it's really starting to back up. Might want to avoid that one if you can. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And heading into the weekend, let's get the KSN Storm Track 3 forecast live with meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Ted. How you doing?
Pretty good. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I ain't gonna lie. It's been a long week, and I know there's other people out there that have experienced the same thing. But, you know, now that we're the weekend right at our doorstep, ready to get some sleep. Although, with that being said, Ted, a lot of us going to get an hour less of sleep this weekend. I'm sure you know why, right?
Daylight saving time, baby.
Yeah, that's right. One less hour of sleep Saturday night. So for anybody that plans on going to church service Sunday, remember that. You don't want to be an hour late. So let's go ahead and get into the forecast, though. Increasing clouds as we go through the day. High of 58 degrees. Winds are still going to be gusty at 15 to 25 miles an hour. But just throwing this out there. Still not expecting anything like Tuesday. No wind alerts in effect, and I'm not expecting that. Mainly cloudy skies tonight, dipping down just below freezing with a low of 30 degrees. Still going to be breezy during the night, too. Winds tomorrow, anywhere between 10 to 20 miles an hour. Not terribly gusty, but still kicking up a breeze when it comes to our winds. Mostly a partly cloudy sky, so the cloud cover going to gradually start to break apart a bit, and then we'll clear out completely. By the time we get into Saturday night, that's going to lead to bright, sunny skies. Sunday, this is also when our temperatures are going to start to warm back up. Cool high of 50 degrees on Saturday, But then a 14-degree jump in our temperature Sunday, high of 64. 75 degrees come Monday. Very warm start to the new week. High of 75 also Tuesday. Midweek system going to cool us off a little bit, but only down to 67 on Wednesday. It's also going to bring us some gusty winds and a 10% chance of rain. We're going to be right back up into the lower 70s after that, though, with a high of 71 on Thursday. Right now, though, we're at 46 degrees above freezing and not all that chilly. Southwest breeze, light for now at 12 miles an hour. Still making it feel like 40 degrees with fair skies. Not a whole lot of cloud cover right now.
Yeah, you mean it's been a windy week. On Wednesday, I was on the Kansas Turnpike, and man, I had to have both hands on the wheel.
Yeah, and we still have some gusty days ahead where, you know, we'll have some wind during the day, they'll calm down during the night, and then by the time we get into the following day, that breeze just going to pick back up. But even at least into the, at least through like next Monday, next Tuesday, still not expecting anything like earlier this week. Now, the latter part of next week, that may be a different story because seems like just about every day there's going to be at least some wind.
All right. Well, after the spring forward, I hopefully we'll connect and talk to each other at the correct time on Monday.
And hopefully we'll be rested, too.
All right. That's our mission for the weekend. Thanks, Ronell.
You're welcome.
There he goes, the live KSN Storm Track 3 forecast with meteorologist Ronell Williams every weekday morning at this time, live right here with Steve and Ted on KNSS. 7:13 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and here we are on this first Friday of March.
It's March 7th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Flapjacks Day, and let's get this out of the way. There's no difference between pancakes, griddle cakes, or flapjacks. They are the same thing, a delicious filling food which we all enjoy from 8 to 80. The pioneers would start their days with a hearty breakfast of flapjacks to power them through a tough day of riding treacherous trails. Today, however, we get to enjoy flapjacks any way we want. Also on this date, in 1876... Alexander Graham Bell receives a patent for his revolutionary new invention, the telephone. And in 1965, the Bloody Sunday March took place in Selma, Alabama, as 600 black civil rights marchers were attacked by members of the Alabama State Police as they attempted to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The brutal carnage was televised and became a turning point in the civil rights movement. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
7:14 with Steve and Ted. Of course, we mentioned daylight saving time coming up this weekend, springing forward on Sunday. We've been talking earlier about the history of daylight saving in the United States. After World War II, it was kind of a patchwork of timekeeping all over the country. Some areas kept it, some others ditched daylight saving time. You'd have one town doing it, and then the town next to it might not be doing it. And then you might end up doing it on different dates. And then the next town down the road might not do it at all. So it was kind of weird. It's kind of after World War II. It was just kind of a patchwork stuff. At one point, if you rode on a 35-mile bus ride from Steubenville, Ohio to Moundsville, West Virginia, and you wanted your watch to be accurate, you would have to change your watch 7 times in a 35-mile stretch because you were dipping in and out of daylight saving time.
Yikes.
So this all kind of began to coalesce in the mid-60s. In 1966, Congress passed the Uniform Time Act, and that said states can either implement daylight saving time or not, but it has to be statewide. That's what the Congress said. The act also mandated the day that daylight saving time starts and ends, so they standardized that too. But that doesn't mean we got rid of the confusion. Lebanon, the country of Lebanon, underwent chaos when the government announced a last-minute decision to delay the start of daylight saving time by a month until the end of the Muslim holy month Ramadan. Some institutions made the change and others did not. So that caused a mess, and they decided to just reverse that decision so that everybody at least would know what time it was, because it was a huge debacle. So, and here's the other thing. What would it be like if we didn't do any of the changes? What if we just kept it? Kept standard time the whole time. Well, changing the clocks twice a year, a lot of people grumble about it. Some people want, hey, let's just go back to standard time year round. Or let's stick to daylight saving time all year long. So that's an idea too. During the 1970s energy crisis, U.S. started doing daylight saving time all year long. And Americans, we didn't like it. when the sun was not rising in the winter in some areas till about 9 in the morning or even later. So people were waking up in the dark. They were going to work in the dark. They sent their kids to school in the dark. And then, you know, you're coming home from work and it's dark.
So, yeah.
People did not like that. But what if you used standard time all year? You would lose that extra hour of daylight for about 8 months in the evenings in the United States. So, especially during the spring and summer months and the fall. So that's where we're at. Anyway, that's what we're doing this weekend. Daylight saving time, spring forward on Sunday. It is 7:17 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's spring right on into sports. See what's going on there. We got a lot of busy weekend stuff going on in sports, including college men's basketball. Wichita State played its final road game of the season last night at Rice, going down to Houston to take on the Owls, visiting campus there for the first time in 75 years. Not a high-scoring game, low-scoring game, and it would come down to a few key possessions late, and the Shockers would find a lot of different contributions from different sources. Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull had the call of the Shockers last night. That was on 103.7 KEYN.
Bell has it way out near the timeline. Six to shoot. Dribbles right. Looking to get in the lane. Little floater. Good. I don't know how he got that off again over the 6'10 Powell from about 6 feet out on the right baseline.
Yeah, nice work by the Wichitan. Xavier Bell right there out of Andover Central. And the Shocks getting more.
Bell dribbles left. Cut off in the lane. Over to Beverly, 9 to shoot. He gets in the lane, gets a shot away. Good.
Oh, tough shot.
Pull-up jumper by Harlan Beverly, who's got 16 for the second straight game, and the Shocker lead back up to 6.
And the Shocks would hold on and win it by 4. 63-59 was the final score. Ronnie DeGray III with a career-high 16 rebounds for the Shockers in that win for WSU. Hey, the Shockers down the stretch won 4 out of their last 5 road games. Snap a two-game losing streak that win last night. Wichita State now 18-12 on the season, tied for 7th place in the conference. And that sets up the last game of the regular season for the Shockers on Sunday. It'll be a home game here at Koch Arena. Wichita State hosting Tulsa in the regular season finale. Tulsa has lost 12 straight times in the city of Wichita. Haven't won here in 23 years. Keep the Shocks, keep that stream going. Mike Kennedy and Dave Dahl have live coverage of the Shockers at noon Sunday. The game will tip off at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Koch Arena. Listen live on 103.7 KEYN. Home action as well to finish up the regular season for Kansas State and Kansas. K-State finishing up the regular season at Bramlage Coliseum tomorrow, hosting 10th-ranked Iowa State. K-State is coming off back-to-back wins. Wyatt Thompson has the call for K-State basketball at 11:30 tomorrow morning. The game will tip off at 12:30 p.m. tomorrow. Listen to the Wildcats on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. And we have action in Lawrence tomorrow afternoon. Kansas is hosting 23rd-ranked Arizona to finish up the regular season. KU is coming off back-to-back losses. 3:30 tip in Lawrence tomorrow afternoon on ESPN. However, big story, of course, for KU is it's senior day. Last home game of the regular season. Saying goodbye to the seniors. KU has won senior day 40 years in a row. Haven't lost at home on a senior day since the early 1980s. Woohoo! KU hosting 23rd-ranked Arizona tomorrow afternoon. All right, high school boys basketball and girls basketball. We got sub-state going on all over the place. And all these games today and tomorrow, the season is over for the loser, and the winners advance to the state tournament. So we got a lot of good basketball. The 5A girls is loaded. Bishop Carroll has 16 wins on the road at 20-1 Andover, 7 o'clock tonight. Mays South is with 18 wins, visiting Arkansas City, which has 19 wins on the season. One of those teams will be finished after tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip. Cheney boys in Class 3A are 20-1 on the season. Cheney boys taking on Haven. That'll be tomorrow night in Halstead. 3A girls, the Heston girls, are undefeated, 21-0. And they are taking on Riley County. That's this evening in Halstead. And in Class 2A boys, the Moundridge boys are undefeated. They're 22-0. Hosting Berean Academy tonight. Winner goes to State. And in the 1A Division II boys, Cunningham is undefeated. Cunningham is 19-0, hosting South Barber. Well, taking on South Barber, that's tomorrow night in Attica. Boy, there's a lot of good teams out there playing high school basketball. And winners go to State, and the season is over for the losers. College women's basketball, the Big 12 tournament up in Kansas City, Missouri. 19th-ranked K-State yesterday in the second round beat Central Florida 80-65. Zai Walker from Wichita, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists for the Wildcats. K-State ladies are now 26-6 on the season, and they play this morning at 11 a.m. In the quarterfinals. It'll be 19th-ranked K-State taking on 16th-ranked West Virginia. And that's a quarterfinals game. Two top 20 teams. There you go. Up the Big 12 in KC. The American Conference Women's Basketball Tournament in Fort Worth. Wichita State will be in action Sunday night, taking on Tulane. Pat Strathman will have the call of Shocker Women's Basketball at 7:45 Sunday night. And that'll be on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. We got all these college wrestlers here in town for today and tomorrow. In the last 2 days of the 68th annual NAIA Men's Wrestling National Tournament up at Park City Arena. 280 of the nation's best wrestlers here in town. It is a home weekend for Wichita State baseball. The Shockers are home at X Stadium hosting a former conference rival, Missouri State. 3 o'clock this afternoon, 2 o'clock tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. Sunday. Today's game and Sunday's games are on KFH. Tomorrow afternoon's game is here on KNSS for the Shockers in Missouri State. And in JUCO men's basketball, regional tournament play getting underway. Butler Community College, a 20-win season on the road at Pratt. And Dennis Higgins will have live coverage of Butler basketball at 3:45 tomorrow afternoon. And that is on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Now I'm questioning myself. Is that game really at Pratt?
No, it is not.
That's what I thought.
That game is in El Dorado.
I knew I messed that up. Yeah. Butler's hosting Pratt tomorrow afternoon. Dennis Higgins will have the call of the game over on KFH 3:45 tomorrow afternoon.
That's one of those things where it's a tournament game where it might be...
Yeah, I knew that.
They might be the away team, like officially or whatever, but that game is in El Dorado.
All right, yeah. Thank you, Jad. And that is your sports with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. 7:24 with Steve and Ted. Coming up, a traffic and weather update. And a certain breast cancer treatment may not be the best. We'll have more on that on your house call for health. That's next here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning. It's 7:32. You are listening to Steve and Ted in the Morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Friday, March 7th. Daylight saving time begins on Sunday. Currently in Wichita, we have a mostly sunny sky. It is 48 degrees. Lawmakers in Topeka discussing the future of a tax credit made possible by the Affordable Housing Bill. Terry Humphrey with the American Institute of Architects was among six people who told the Senate Committee on Commerce that the tax credit is still needed.
We lack housing in all areas, low income, moderate, any kind of housing. We lack it. As a result of that, we think that our Kansas affordable housing program is very, very important.
And the results of that bill are still pending. This morning, the Labor Department releasing the jobs report for last month.
Economists are predicting that payrolls increased by 160,000 last month, up slightly from a lower than anticipated gain of 143,000 in January. The unemployment rate is forecast to hold steady at 4% for a second month, matching the lowest level since April of 2024. The report will be a key gauge on how the labor market is holding up as the Fed weighs its next moves in terms of interest rate cuts. With inflation still a concern, the central bank will be looking for clues that wage pressures are easing without undermining overall job growth. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is Severe Weather Awareness Week across Kansas. Spearheading the effort locally, Sedgwick County Emergency Management Director Julie Stimson telling KNSS News the 911 dispatcher is the first of all the first responders.
It's an incredible position to be in. And some of these folks have been doing this a very, very long time, and it's incredible to watch them and to multitask and to take the phone calls from the public and then communicating with our first responders and making sure everybody has their needs met or they're getting the right resources to the right people at the right time. It's incredible.
Julie Stimson is our guest this weekend on Issues 2025. That's Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on KNSS. You'll find changes are being made to Wichita's McAdams Park. The results of donations that came into League 42, the baseball league, after the theft of the Jackie Robinson statue. League Executive Director Bob Lutz says a donation from Major League Baseball has helped replace lights that have been dark for more than 60 years.
We're entering our 12th year, so, you know, I hope somebody's sitting in this chair in 40 years being able to tell you we just celebrated our 50th anniversary and League 42 is here to stay.
Opening day for League 42 coming up next month on April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day. A hefty reward offered to help United States officials find and arrest a former Olympian turned alleged drug trafficker and murderer.
43-year-old Ryan Wedding, a former Olympic snowboarder from Canada, becoming the 535th fugitive to be added to the FBI's most wanted list.
Wedding went from being an elite athlete to running one of the most sophisticated drug trafficking networks in North America.
Akil Davis, assistant director of the FBI's Los Angeles field office, noting the network ships drugs, including cocaine, from Colombia through Mexico and into the U.S. and Canada.
Wedding and 15 other defendants are currently charged for their roles in this drug operation.
Wedding and others also accused of orchestrating multiple murders. The State Department offering a reward of up to $10 million for information leading to Wedding's arrest and or conviction. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Officials in Missouri arresting two men, charging them with manslaughter in the deaths of three Kansas City Chiefs fans. This is more than a year after the friends were found frozen to death in their backyard.
The first defendant, Jordan Willis, owns the home where his friends' bodies were found back in January of 2024. Prosecutors say the men died from a deadly mixture of fentanyl and cocaine after watching the final regular season game together. Their bodies were found 2 days later in Willis's backyard in freezing temperatures. In addition to Willis, Ivory Carson, who goes by the nickname Blade Brown, is also alleged to have supplied and sold cocaine to Willis and the victims. And after searching Willis's home, investigators found a bag of drugs with Willis's DNA on it. Another bag of fentanyl had traces of Carson's DNA.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter with that story. Workers at the Social Security Administration are facing some new rules.
Social Security Administration employees can no longer access news, sports, or shopping websites while at work. That directive came down Thursday via email. The Social Security Administration sent a statement to Fox saying Social Security employees should be focused on mission-critical work and serving the American people. Therefore, we implemented additional restrictions to the categories of websites prohibited from government-furnished equipment. That's happening as the Associated Press reports in a cost-cutting effort. Social Security is getting ready to lay off at least 7,000 people from its workforce of 60,000. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
President Trump says he wants to bring shipbuilding back to the United States. He may have bipartisan support.
We used to make so many ships. We don't make them anymore very much, but we're going to make them very fast, very soon.
President says he wants to create an office of shipbuilding in the White House, provide tax incentives for shipbuilders, and perhaps put fees at U.S. ports for Chinese-built ships that dock there. Democratic Congressman Chris DeLuzio, a Navy vet, says he's not a big fan of the president, but he supports him on this one.
We need all of the above approach, and I'm ready in the Congress to work with Democrats, Republicans to do that. We will need a robust shipbuilding industry.
At the Philadelphia shipyard, I'm Jeff Flock, Fox News.
7:39 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's check in and get the weather forecast for the big weekend coming up. Here is KSN meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Increasing clouds through the day. Winds still going to be breezy, switching out of the northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour. High of 58 degrees, getting close to 60 by later on this afternoon. Staying dry, too. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rana Williams.
And currently in Wichita, we have a breeze out of the west-southwest, mostly sunny and 48 degrees here on this Friday morning, March 7th, with daylight saving time coming up spring forward on Sunday. 7:39 with Steve and Ted. Of course, you're listening to Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And weather, of course, is brought to you by the Monarch. What a great place to hang out, right in the Delano neighborhood downtown by the roundabout. And the Monarch is a great place to hang out. Maybe, hey, here's the idea. Once this weather is warming up, we get some nice days, 62 on Sunday, and then even warmer than that following it. Why don't you get together for drinks after work at the Monarch? It'd be great. Fantastic. Of course, the patio's open, so check it out. What a great place to hang out, the Monarch. It is 7:40 with Steve and Ted here in KNSS. Boy, it was just kind of a quiet fishing trip down in New Zealand, and it went crazy for three men in New Zealand when a 900-pound dolphin just, they said it pretty much just seemed to fall out of the sky and crash-landed on their small boat.
Yikes.
Need a bigger boat. Apparently no one was badly hurt. An 11-foot, 900-pound bottlenose dolphin just jumped aboard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. The vessel's only 16 feet long, and the dolphin's 11 feet long. They were fishing a pretty nice spot, and they saw the dolphins frolicking ahead. Then they saw a shadow across the sun and heard a boom. So just jumped on board the ship. Says 1 minute was fine, and then it, just like lightning striking, there's this huge dolphin in our boat thrashing around and breaking everything.
Oh, yeah? I once caught a fish.
Yeah. Apparently, the dolphin's flailing around. It snapped every single fishing rod we had in the boat, they said. Severely damaged the bow. The three guys were just clinging to the sides, trying to stay in the boat. One man hurt his arm. The male dolphin... but then all three fishermen and the dolphin, otherwise just made it through. But then the next project is you got to get that big thing off the boat,
yeah,
back into the water. And that was a real challenge. They saw the dolphin was still alive and breathing. And we got to get this thing back in the water. He's stuck on the boat. The men then alerted the New Zealand Conservation Agency, and they were directed to a boat ramp about an hour away.
Ooh.
Where workers waited to help the dolphin. On the way, they used a hose to try to keep the dolphin wet and protected it from the sun using a damp towel depicting players from a rugby team. On shore, members of the local Maori tribe prayed for the dolphin before it was returned to the ocean using a tractor. Helpers gave the 2 to 3 year old creature a name, Tohu, which means sign in the Maori language.
Tohu. Sign says you're going to need a new boat one. Yeah, that one's...
Exactly. So there's the big dolphin adventure in New Zealand.
Sorry, buddy. Your fishing boat's kind of done in.
It is 7:42 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Hey, we have a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal on the way. We'll tell you about a big development in Andover. Those details are coming. And, of course... other great items coming up as well. So we'll get you going. KNSS News Time, 7:43. KNSS 7:47 with Steve and Ted in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A local business update from the Wichita Business Journal is on the way. Telling you about a global real estate giant with a connection to Wichita. There we go. Now, Steve and Ted, it's time for three big things.
Three.
The Sedgwick County Board of Canvassers met yesterday morning, added another 535 provisional ballots to the count for the USD 259 bond vote. We'll know the results later this afternoon.
Two.
The House voting to censure Texas Democratic Congressman Al Green after his disruption of President Trump before Congress.
One.
College men's basketball. Wichita State won its final road game of the season, a 4-point win last night at Rice. The home finale is Sunday afternoon at Coke Arena against Tulsa. Three big things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Traffic volume still pretty heavy, and so we've still got a big traffic slowdown after a crash eastbound on Kellogg, and it is just west of Meridian. This backup still goes all the way back to I-235. Traffic in the area just pretty bad. You'll want to avoid that if you can. You can get through. It's just going to take you quite a while at the slow speeds that things are moving there. Although, traffic volumes usually start to thin out right about this time every morning, so may not last for that much longer. But for right now, continue to avoid eastbound Kellogg right around Meridian. From that all the way back to I-235. Traffic update, 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And let's take a look at our weather forecast heading into the weekend. Windy, yeah, of course, windy today and tonight. High today of 58 degrees with increasing cloudiness. Overnight low tonight down to 31 under a mostly cloudy sky. Still mostly cloudy tomorrow on Saturday, cooling off. Only a high of 51 tomorrow, but then warming up on a sunny day Sunday with a high of 62. Currently in Wichita, we have a breeze out of the west-southwest, mostly sunny and 48 degrees on our way to a high of 58 here at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 749 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. And, of course, as we head into the weekend, we look forward to the end of the weekend, and that's on a Sunday evening when we always have the John Whitmer Show right here on KNSS. 2 great hours from 7 to 9 on Sunday nights, and here he is, the host, John Whitmer. Good morning!
Good morning, Ted. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to being back in the studio again. We'll be heading back up to Topeka towards the end of the month, but okay. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance, but we'll be back in the studio again this week, which is nice.
Very nice. Of course, we're coming off a week in which the president gave his joint address before Congress, and it was quite the time on Wednesday night.
It was a very, very interesting response from both sides of the, response, and for lack of a better phrase of display, no response from the other side of the aisle. Never really saw that before. Usually, you know, no matter who the president is, there are moments where you have bipartisan support. You know, you talk about something that's universally appealing, and regardless, you know, the Republicans will applaud for Clinton or Obama, and the Democrats will applaud for Bush. But, you know, at this time, I mean, you couldn't even see Democrats applauding for the American citizen who was returned from a Russian jail, or the 12 or 13 year old brain cancer survivor. So it really was very interesting to see the response. And I just saw a poll this morning. The president's approval rating has bumped up to 54%. So clearly, I think that display probably backfired for the Democrats, that there weren't moments in that speech that they could at least find something that united them. But that's okay. You know, this president certainly is willing to go it alone if he has to.
We're finally, it looks like this afternoon, we're finally going to get the totals on the school bond vote. It seems like that election was a long time ago, and we're still getting those provisional ballots counted.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to change the outcome. I've been around elections for quite a long time. They'd have to literally win 4-to-1 ratio of these new 500 or so ballots in order to sway the outcome. But it was an interesting bill passed both houses of the Kansas State House and has been sent to the governor. She will veto it, but they may have enough to override. But it will end the 3-day grace period in Kansas elections, which means these mail-in ballots will have to be received by 7 p.m. on election day. And frankly, I think it's a good idea. I don't see there's any reason why, if you want to mail in your ballot, it needs to be received by the election office on election day. It would just make it easier for us to know, you know, who the winner is on election day. Florida does it, and they have, what, 6 million population, and they can get their election results on election day. Kansas should be able to do that, too.
All right. I know you'll have a great show on Sunday night with the phone lines open.
We do. We have one fascinating guest, Mike Mazza. He is one of the January 6th protesters. He's from Kansas. He was convicted, sent to prison, and was had a lengthy prison sentence. He was pardoned by President Trump. And we will have him on the show Sunday night. It'll be a very interesting conversation. Whether you think it was an insurrection or a peaceful protest, it'll still be fascinating to talk to someone who was convicted, sentenced to prison, and then pardoned by President Trump. So it'll be an interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him.
John, have a great show Sunday night.
Thank you, Ted. Always a pleasure, my friend. Doing a great job.
Thank you. That is John Whitmer. He's the host of The John Whitmer Show every Sunday evening from 7 to 9. And that's right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Tune into The John Whitmer Show on Sunday night. It is 7:54 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's take a look at what's going on. A local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. It's an 8-year story of how the heritage development in Andover came to be. A lot of decades of thinking about it. One man in particular, that's the topic of this week's Biz Talk with the Wichita Business Journal podcast episode. Mike Lease of Lease Property had his eye on the land north of U.S. 54, quarter mile east of Andover Road. Kind of kept his eye on that for 40 years, but it didn't come available until the mid-2010s. Once it did, collaboration with Jerry Jones of Jones Commercial Development led to a huge project. Someday it could transform Andover if it hasn't already. A 5-story apartment complex, second floor parking, ground floor commercial space. It's already up, as are most of the 200 planned single family homes in that complex. And still to come, more commercial opportunities, a courtyard home community, green space, and a senior living facility. Once again, that'll be the topic of the Biz Talk on the Wichita Business Journal podcast episode this week. Global real estate giant CBRE has hired a familiar face in Wichita real estate to expand the firm's operation, Bo Hudson. Previously worked in investment sales and tenant representation at Landmark Commercial Real Estate, joined CBRE as its vice president in commercial real estate. That'll lead to the creation of Wichita and Kansas markets. CBRE is headquartered in Dallas. Its commercial real estate firm provides services in all aspects of real estate, has 130,000 employees in more than 100 countries. So it's a big deal, far spreading, and a little bit of Wichita. Bo Hudson's going to be part of that project. All right. Hudson has been involved with more than $1 billion in commercial and real estate transactions over the past decade plus. He said his first goal in his first year at CBRE is to create more awareness about the variety of the company here in Wichita. That is a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. We'll have another one. More local news from the business coming up exactly 1 hour from now. 7:56 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. We have a big 8 o'clock hour on the way. And that does include entertainment news in the blur.
That is right. We got a big festival kicking off, so we'll tell you all about that. Plus, a lot of other interesting little tidbits on the blur coming up in about 30 minutes from now.
Looking forward to it. Of course, business, sports, weather, traffic, it's all coming your way. And we'll talk live with Fox News Radio's Evan Brown in Miami. And we'll talk about Trump and tariffs. KNSS News Time is 7:56.